This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
This week, AOPA and EAA teamed up to ask the FAA to consider exempting many pilots who fly for recreation from having to get a third-class medical certificate. Hi, I'm Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Christine Hartzell, AOPA's Manager of Regulatory Affairs, for more details. So, Christine, thanks for talking to us today. And my first question is, I know you guys have been working on this off and on for like 3 decades. So why are you trying again now? What's new about this plan?
Well, thanks, Mary. First of all, thanks for interviewing us. We're very excited to have submitted yesterday. We have been working on similar requests for a long time, but in the past, the FAA has either denied or not responded to all of the requests. So the reason why this one is different is actually in the last 2 denials, they cited the sport pilot rule and said, well, it's just too soon. We don't know how the driver's license medical is going to work in sport pilots, so we certainly can't consider anything like that for anybody else. Now it's been 7 years since the sport pilot rule has been out, so we felt like it was about time that we addressed it again. What makes this exemption request different is, well, first off, that it's an exemption request instead of a rulemaking. But outside of that, we have built in an education piece that is something that has never been proposed in any of these in the past. It kind of gives the FAA an assurance of a higher level of safety through education.
Okay, so my next question actually, and maybe you just answered it, was how is this proposal different from David Wartofsky, who, put in a proposal earlier this year that was denied? Is it the education piece? Is that what's key?
Well, actually, there are quite a few things that are different from the Wartofsky petition. And just so that you know, we do support that concept, and we are kind of moving along in the same concept, but based on our past denials and conversations that we've had with folks at the FAA, we knew that it was likely going to be denied because it was just too far a step for the FAA to take. That proposal encompassed a lot of aircraft that were larger, even multi-engine airplanes, and we kind of understood from the FAA that that was a little far-reaching. So ours is certainly not that all-encompassing. Ours is basically the next incremental step, which is much easier for the FAA to swallow.
Okay. And how is asking for an exemption different from asking for a rulemaking change?
Well, first off, the timeline that you're talking about is different. Obviously, when the FAA goes through a rulemaking process, it's a lot of resources, a lot of time, and right now the FAA is dealing with a lot of congressional mandates as well as other rule change packages that are very large, and it would be unlikely that we'd be able to get on a rulemaking schedule. So partly the decision was made to go with an exemption because of that. Another reason is because it is short term, so it gets extended or revised every few years, and if the FAA can see this is working really well and we haven't seen an increase in accidents, there is the potential that they could actually open it up even broader than what we have in the original exemption.
Okay, thanks. And in the proposal, you also suggest that making this change could actually improve safety because there would be fewer transitional issues with pilots having to transition into unfamiliar aircraft if they want to fly without a medical. Is that something you think will have an impact on the FAA's response?
Well, we certainly hope so, which is why we included it in there. But even just looking at the statistics, when we did do a deep dive into what types of accidents were occurring in light sport aircraft, obviously we wanted to look at if there were any that were as a result of medical deficiency, but what we found in doing that study was that there were a lot of transition accidents. So I don't remember the exact percentage, but there was a large percentage of the accidents that were instruction and for folks who had a private certificate or higher that were moving down into these aircraft. If it was possible to keep them in their own airplanes or give them in some sort of incentive to stay in the aircraft that they're most familiar with, you might reduce those types of accidents.
So what about the impact on the LSA industry? Has there been any talk about that or any blowback from LSA manufacturers, how this might affect them?
We haven't heard very much directly from any of the manufacturers. In a lot of cases, they recognize that this is an effort for the entire aviation industry, for all of GA. And in many cases, some of those LSA manufacturers also have larger aircraft, so it benefits them in that way as well. But really, obviously, AOPA represents all of general aviation, and just keeping more people flying longer and reducing the barriers to entry into aviation is beneficial to the entire industry.
Okay, and what do you expect for a timeline on this? Do you have an idea when you might hear back from the FAA?
Actually, there's no timeline required in the regs or anywhere else. So what we anticipate as next steps is for it to be published on regulations.gov and opened up for comment. It'll likely have a 30 to 60-day comment period, perhaps longer since it is a rather large exemption request. And then after that, there is no specified time frame that they have to respond by. So we'll just have to keep engaging with the FAA and pushing it as much as we can to get an answer.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to us today. And for listeners who want more information, or if you want to sign up to get updates about the progress of this proposal, you can go to the AOPA or EAA website. There's also a link to the full 41-page proposal in our AvWeb news story posted this week on avweb.com. This is Mary Grady for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.